Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Might have a little bit of a shower tonight, a little bit later in the night. It's supposed to be a beautiful day tomorrow for the 4th of July, so whatever you're doing tonight for fireworks, tomorrow, enjoy it. I have a poll up at X/Twitter. It's at the Extra Point account. I retweeted it, so we did as well at the WGR account. It's basically asking, what kind of fireworks person are you? All right? Are you the kind of person that... Here's your choices, all right? Fireworks person. Number one, watch me blow these up, dude. Number two, always love a good show. Number three, have fun, not for me. Or number four, stop it, I'm trying to sleep. I mean, you know, you got your whole, run the whole gamut there. We'll ask John Scott here, who joins me now on the Western Hotline, WGRZ TV2 Sports Director. What kind of fireworks person are you, John?
It's weird because I'm actually working again. I don't know, I like a good fireworks show. I like it on my terms, though. I like it, okay, I want to watch fireworks, but I had to go down a couple of years ago and be that get off my lawn guy and tell some kids, hey, it's a little too late for this right now. So, you know, on my terms, which people that know me would probably say, John, that's literally everything in your life. It has to be on your terms. So, I mean.
Yeah, there you go.
For the brand, right?
Well, what about Otto? Does Otto get scared at fireworks?
He does not. No. Add it to the list of things that make him the perfect dog. I mean, he just, he's chilling. And it very few things bother him. The things that bother him are the vacuum, the lawnmower, the snowblower, and this witch that makes noise in our front yard that we put up during Halloween. That's about the extent of the things that really stir the pot with our auto man.
I also know that baths don't bother him. I have watched him literally jump into a kiddie pool and then swish around.
Dude, that he's a water dog for sure. I mean, labs are notorious for that. But yep. He loves it. He goes over to a friend's house regularly to go swimming in their pool. He'll jump in lakes. There's actually, today's our wedding anniversary, and there was a funny moment. We took some pictures by Gallagher Pier, and he was scoping to find a way to jump into the lake. I mean, it was like his hell-bent determination to say, hey, I know we're supposed to be looking nice and taking pictures, but I want to take a swim here in the lake. And that's just the way it is.
I totally forgot that today is your anniversary, and I'm so sorry, but I should remember that, because I do remember that a few years ago, and you and Heather got married, and we were there, and we had a great time. It's one of the best weddings that I've attended, because we all love dancing and getting out there with friends, and it was a great time. Yeah, I don't know, what do you remember about that wedding night? That was an awesome time, and there was a lot of boy band music being played, because we're all into that, and you love that for sure. But happy anniversary, first of all, and what do you remember about that night?
Thank you. I did tweet out a picture of you and your element just before I hopped on. So if people want to see Sal cooking on the dance floor, we have evidence of that. It was awesome. I mean, it was a whirlwind. I'm sure any and everyone who's been married says a lot of the same things of you go 0 to 100. It's nonstop. It's a blur. Thank goodness we had a great photographer and stuff like that to capture it. It wasn't like alcohol induced. Why I can't remember. It's just so many people and nonstop and all of that. Shout out to the Statler, an incredible venue for us to have our reception. And we were just so happy and glad to celebrate with all of our friends, especially since we were one of the many who had to push because of COVID the year earlier.
Oh, yeah. And listen, I'm looking at the picture now. I see Heather right in the forefront. She's just married to you, obviously. And there's Tom Martin right behind me. And we're both enjoying whatever song that is.
Yeah, I mean, the DJ killed it, too. So, yeah, I mean, no complaints at all. Of how the day went from start to finish.
All right, John. This week, the Sabres, obviously, they had their draft last round, free agency. We're expecting trades. That doesn't happen necessarily. Kevin Adams says they tried to make moves. You guys have been covering it. I know Lindsay was out at the draft in Vegas, Lindsay Moppert. What's your big takeaway from what was done from Kevin Adams and the Sabres or what wasn't done by Kevin Adams and the Sabres over the last week?
I mean, I think it has to be about what he hasn't done. And listen, he's been incredibly open and honest about his desire and willingness to make a move. And he's never used the words bold or big or seismic or anything like that. But I think that's the understanding of, like, listen, this is what he's eyeing to do, and I think it's believed by most, this is what he needs to do. And it's in part why I asked him the other day on Monday how much of his offseason plan is centered around, I used the word hope, he corrected me and wanted to say the word belief, that guys like Tage Thompson and the young core play better than they did last season. And he admitted that's part of it. And to me, that's flawed, because that's the exact plan that he was operating under a year ago, and we saw how that worked. That doesn't mean Alex Tuck and Dylan Cousins and Tage Thompson and some of these younger guys also can't elevate their game, but to bank on that when you're in the midst of a 13-year playoff drought, when that really was your plan a year ago, I just don't get it. And furthermore, he shouldn't be so consumed with the future, because if he's being real with himself, there is no future for Kevin Adams as the Sabres general manager if this doesn't get turned around. So you have to sweeten the pot, or you have to overpay or something like that. I think that's worth it, not only for his own job security, but to break the drought.
John Scott joining me here on the West Hur Hotline. I mean, it does feel like he's tried in some capacity, and I think that's where we kind of sit with this organization, and they've done this to themselves. 13 years, of course, no playoffs. You get guys who don't want to be traded here. If they are going to get traded here, they don't want to sign a contract here. I don't know the workaround, John. At some point, you might just say, heck with it. We got to do whatever we can. If that means overpay, or that means we say we take the risk and get the guy here for 1 year, maybe that's the solution ultimately, because it's a chicken and egg. Because until you win, you're not going to get those guys wanting to come here.
Yeah, you can't remain status quo. I mean, that's proven to be insufficient. And sure, you could say it over 13 years, you could point to a variety of reasons why individual teams didn't make the postseason. You certainly see this run of former top-tier players on this team winning Stanley Cups. It's not like they've been devoid of talent. It's okay, maybe they needed to round out the roster, and that's what we heard from Kevin Adams this week of what his objective was. Or maybe it was goaltending. Or maybe it was injuries, or maybe it was coaching, or whatever it may be, they're all moot at this point. We have to operate in the present, and you're right. To me, he mentioned prospect camp is a different look this week, where he says maybe 14, 15 of this organization's top prospects are not even here for a variety of reasons. So that means they feel so comfortable with that group, and now they've just infused all this new talent. There's no room for it all. There just is not enough room for it all when you look at what they have at the NHL level, and even what you seems blocked in some capacity at the AHL level with some of those guys. So I agree with you. I mean, you got to just do it. I mean, fantasy sports and real sports and pro sports are not the same thing. But we've been in instances where my team's struggling. I got to make a move. I know that maybe this isn't the ideal situation, but I got to do something to shake it up and see if I can catch lightning in a barrel. I don't think they need to go drastic and trade away Rasmus Dahlin or anything like that. But I think with the amount of assets that he has admittedly accumulated, it's time to either ship them out or find a spot for them at the Sabres level.
Yeah, we're getting connected with our fans here, and I want to give you an idea here that just was sent to me, and that's right. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Dwayne says, got to do offer sheets, maybe. I mean, you know, this is the thing that, John, you know, Jeremy's talked about this for years. Oh, my God, nobody offer sheets anyone. We see it in football. But, man, in hockey, these GMs are so afraid that it's going to be done to them. I mean, what else? Your job is on the line, right, if you're Kevin Adams. I mean, I think we all can kind of recognize that here. What did Brandon Bean say about drafting Josh Allen? Remember that? He said, well, if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to be here anyway, right? So you might as well just offer sheet. If it doesn't work out, you won't be there anyway. So what do you have to really risk as far as other GMs are concerned?
I 100% agree. And I just think that should be his approach and mindset overall. And that doesn't mean, again, be reckless. Some people criticize Tim Murray. He certainly made some poor decisions, but he went for it. He went with his plan, with his conviction, and he went for it. It didn't work. Clearly, he's assembled some really great top-tier talent because we've seen what they've done since they've been jettisoned by the Sabres. But I think it's time for Adams to take that more aggressive approach. This, I'm trying. You can make anything work if the deal is good enough. And maybe he's trying. In his mind, they're asking for too much, and he's not willing to do that deal. Well, maybe it's, what's the difference if you throw another prospect who's eighth in your depth chart of prospects in the organization that either you won't see for 2 to 3 years or has no clear path here at the NHL level. Or maybe they're already at the NHL level and you have a list of handful of guys that are kind of blocked by those guys at the NHL level, and you could just slide them back in. That, to me, is the approach he needs to take, whether it's offer sheets or trades. I have no problem with him not overpaying for 30-plus-year-old people for longer terms in the free agent market. That I'm okay with. Monday, I really didn't have expectations of Steven Stamkos or other things, but it's the trades, and that's the way this team, because of a lot of the things you illustrated of who's voluntarily going to come here on the 13-year playoff drought, I think that's the way he needs to do this. And there's still time. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt to reserve judgment of, oh, my gosh, he did nothing, until we reach camp in September and see what this roster looks like.
John, what year did you start covering sports in Buffalo?
2014, January 2014.
Ooh, okay. So did you cross over Lindy at all? Was that right then when he was let go?
No, I did not.
The first time?
I was here for Ted Nolan was my first okay. of any Sabres head coaches.
Okay. Well, you know about Lindy, though. You're here. You've been here long enough to know. And now you see the return of Lindy Ruff. You see the fan reaction. You've caught up with him in the media. Just your overall sense of where this can go and how this can go, right decision, or should they have looked outside the organization for someone that doesn't have the ties simply because of the optics of getting someone with the ties?
Hockey people far smarter than me seem to fairly universally be able to separate the, yes, this is a cool, nostalgic story, but he also seems to be the right guy for the job. And I trust those people. So to me, I'm on board with it. And his track record across stops beyond the Sabres shows greatly that he has an ability to turn some teams around and to get them into the postseason. It doesn't mean that maybe, and I know some people say, oh, he's a great guy to kind of get them to the next step. If Granato took them to this far, then Lindy can take them this far, then maybe you got to find another. That's fine if that's ultimately the succession plan. You got to get to the playoffs first, and I think Lindy Ruff is absolutely a good fit for this organization. And again, you hear former players and you hear former coaches and people in this area that, again, like Paul Hamilton, that are very knowledgeable, and they say the way Lindy likes to coach and the way the style of play, he thinks with this team he can whip them in the right direction and ultimately, hopefully, get them back into the postseason.
John Scott joining me here on the West Her Hotline. Sabres at development camp today. You can follow along. Lindsay Moppert's down there covering as well. Jonathan Acosta, John Scott over at WGRZ TV Channel 2. And of course, our Paul Hamilton is there. We have full coverage at WGR550.com. We also have a few more weeks before Bill's training camp begins. John will be out there covering it with his WGRZ team. Of course, training camp in St. John Fisher again. But what is the storyline heading into camp, John? Before we get on the field and things start happening on a daily basis, what's one or two main storylines heading into this camp for you?
This is funny. Yesterday, I literally was starting to write my top 10 storylines of training camp. It's like
love
you
it.
Read my mind. Number one for me is obviously the wide receivers. And I know it's been an exhausting topic to this point. But let's be honest. I mean, you kind of know Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman. That's likely the set it and forget it. But I think the rest of the group is open. You would put Marquez Valdes-Scantling and maybe Chase Claypool as the next in line. Mac Hollins as well, who seemed to get a shout out regularly for his energy and his leadership already. So I put those maybe as the front running six. But I think KJ Hamler has a shot. There's other guys that have opportunities to, once the pads get on, and we've seen shifts of, oh my gosh, where did Jake Kumerow come from? Or where did this person come from that have made moves up the roster to shake things up surprisingly when we get to training camp? So wide receiver, I'll kind of lump that together. I think safety is fascinating. Taylor Rapp, all but certainly, will be one of the starters. Beyond that, I think it's wide open as well. And I know some people, it depends on the line, you know, they're tired of hearing about DeMar Hamlin, but the conversation has shifted to him making plays as a football player, which I think is cool to see. We'll see how Mike Edwards, who we didn't get a look at because he was hurt, kind of slides in. So those are kind of the top two position battle storylines that I'm looking at there. And I suppose it's a different kind of shift, but Matt Milano, it seems like he's farther ahead than certainly what Tre'Davious White or Von Miller were when we were reaching camp and trying to see. But how does he progress? How do they bring him along? And how does his chemistry start to build with Terrell Bernard? Because we have an All-Pro and a guy that I think should have gotten maybe stronger consideration for All-Pro last year in Bernard. What a tandem those two could be to maybe actually take them to a different level and man the middle of the defense as they have transitioned back at safety.
I think we spoke a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, and I said to you, I've been asking guests, what's your number one confidence in this team? What's your number one concern in this team? What is it now? After going through OTAs, mini camp, what's the number one confidence you have in this team on the field, coaching, organizationally, whatever, as we head into 2024? And what's your number one concern?
I mean, I'll do a cop-out. My number one confidence is Josh Allen. And It seems so logical. But that's also why all these national pundits, who I always roll my eyes at, who say that the Bills are not what they were. They aren't what they were. But they still are a threat because you have Josh Allen. You could always say that they are going to be in the mix because they have one of the greatest quarterbacks on the planet. So that's my most confidence, even with Joe Brady at the helm, even with new weapons. I believe that Josh Allen will still be Josh Allen, regardless of who is around him and calling plays. Biggest concern, I'm going to say the pass rush, because they lost more than they gained, and it was a unit I thought was incredibly consistent. For the most part, I know the playoff game notwithstanding, it kind of leaked oil towards the end, but I thought that group as a whole was pretty consistent. They lose Leonard Floyd. You're now asking, you can do a somewhat of a parallel to the Saviors, you're now asking and almost relying on Greg Rousseau being a first-round caliber pass rusher. You're now relying on A.J. Epenesa to play like a guy who just got paid the money that he just got paid. And in to some capacity, you're relying on a mid-30-year-old Von Miller off an ACL to not be Von Miller, but be a disruptive force, because beyond that, I'm not completely sure who you can believe in to be disruptive. And I know it's a collective group. So to me, the pass rush is something that, honestly, if you were going to throw, similar to what they did with Leonard Floyd in June, if you were going to throw money at a late free agent ad, I looked at some pass rushers and say, hey, I'd rather throw a dart there than maybe some of these wide receiver signings. So pass rush to me is probably the most concerning and least confident spot I am in the roster.
Rochester, St. John Fisher, always a good time. What do you like about being out at St. John Fisher for training camp? Or maybe you don't, but I think you do, because we've been out there long enough and have had some good times. What do you like most about it?
I love it, how it's this unique way to kind of kick off the season. It's different. It's getting away, even for us. And it's a way to kind of infuse some energy into the, all right, here we go. It's kind of fun. We're out there for 2.5 weeks. I find it somewhat charming and endearing staying in a dorm room for a little bit. It's a little bit of a throwback there. And much like the team itself, I really enjoy hanging out with the rest of the media people or other friends I have up there in Rochester. It's as much of a quote-unquote team relationship building little stretch there for us as it is everyone else. It's just enjoyable to have a little different feel out there and spend extra time with others and just kind of kick off the season in a different way, because we're down at Orchard Park at One Bills Drive for a long, long stretch there once we get back from Fisher. So I think it's cool. Fisher's a fantastic campus. They do things so well and host so well. And Rochester, man, it's a really cool place with a lot of cool spots to go. The people are great, and it's fun to kind of be up there for some brief time, because I honestly, beyond that, I don't really make the trip.
John, your Cleveland Guardians, as of today, have the best record in the American League. I'm sure you know that.
I do.
They have the highest winning percentage, 639. Now, they've won less win than the Orioles, but the 639 against 635, my Yanks have fallen away. I mean, they had such a great start. They were first team to 50 wins, but man, they are not good right now. The Guardians, I mean, is this a team that can sustain what they're doing?
That is a good question, Sal, and I will tell you, I have not watched one single pitch because of the MLB blackout policy, which means I can't watch the Guardians here in Buffalo unless I get DirecTV, which, now that I am no longer working for a particular cable company, I'm open to looking at new avenues to watch television. Yeah. But maybe that'll be in the fold. But from talking to friends, reading things, I mean, they their offense is not as reliant upon the small ball and the scrappiness. They're hitting a lot more home runs. They're anchored by Jose Ramirez, who is in the MVP conversation with guys like Aaron Judge, who, by the way, holy smokes, what a season that guy's having. I had no idea, and I watched him hit the homer last night. So I think, and they're relying on pitching, and their pitching is and their bullpen is usually and continues to be great. So that's the formula. We know baseball now with rule changes and things like that is it's not a bunch of flamethrowers and the three-run homer and all of that. I mean, that's not necessarily how you have to win. So, heck, I will forever be a pessimist with that team because, I mean, much like Bills fans, what have they showed me in my lifetime to believe otherwise? But I'm sure hopeful that at least get us to October so me and Josh Reed can come and talk smack to all of you stupid Yankees fans and the rest of you. And, you know, let's have a fun little series again.
Speaking of Josh, our buddy at WIVB TV Channel 4, I had the pleasure of playing golf with you and him and WKBW TV Sports Director Matt Bove, all out at Eric Woods and at the Evanwood Fund, you know, golf tournament a couple weeks ago. We were out at Terry Hills, and then you were like very close to the longest drive, and then you texted. Did you go back to that course at another tournament and win the longest drive? What happened there?
I sure did. My buddy Ryan Whalen asked me, like, I think it was like maybe the day after we played the scramble on a Thursday. Hey, do you want to play in a scramble on Sunday? We're looking for a fill-in guy. I said, okay, where is it? He goes, Terry Hills. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm playing there on Thursday, or I just played there. And we almost played the exact same hole structure. So it was that same downhill par 5 where Eric usually pounds at 315, 320. But the wind on this day was right into us. So, I got a hold of it, and I inched out the person who was the current leader for longest drive by legitimately 1 yard.
Wow.
So I won the longest drive into the wind. So it wasn't as cool of a, oh, I just smashed this 300-plus. But it was an accomplishment into a pretty stiff wind. And I won a brand-new driver. So
wow.
Which I haven't been able to use yet because my schedule doesn't allow me to golf as much as I'd like. But I'm actually playing in an event with my former colleague Andy Young in a couple weeks, which we won years ago. That'll be the first time I get out there. Got some buddies coming into town from Ohio to play some golf in Buffalo. So I'll get out there. But, yeah, it was Terry Hills. What a fun course if you can hit it long.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's some short holes that it's just like, let it fly, man. And playing with the four of us, we couldn't get good enough approach shots, but man, we were giving ourselves some decent looks.
I am proud to say I'll be playing out there again. I'll be playing in the Jim Kelly Celebrity Golf Classic this year. That's in a few weeks out of Terry Hills. It's always a great time. People can look into that, too. And, of course, Kelly for Kids raises money for that foundation. But I do have one question about this whole long drive thing because you brought it up. You said 1 yard. Now, are we talking about, like, you had to go and look at a different angle, like, you know, the offsides the other night from Copa America in the game and, like, wherever the camera angle is? Like, was this legitimate? Did we have to adjust it? What was this?
Oh no, it was maybe we'll give it 2 yards. It was not like, I mean, it was noticeable. It wasn't I wasn't cheating. I know it's funny, I just had this conversation with a buddy of mine. People who cheat in scrambles, I don't understand it. What is the point of it? Like, so whether it's longest drive, closest to the pin, or your overall score more likely, I just, it's not in my bag, man. I'm competitive as heck, and if I'm gonna beat you, I want to beat you fair and square. And in this long drive, I beat that sucker by a yard and a half.
I love it. I love it. All right. I lied. I do have one more for you. We could talk for hours. Obviously, we've done this. We'll have you on again. But I do have one more because it just popped up in my brain. LeBron. Bronny. And I know you're a Cavs fan. You watched LeBron there, won a championship, all the things that they went through in Cleveland. But what do you think about, you know, Bronny being drafted by the Lakers and now obviously LeBron opting back into his contract?
I think it's, and you obviously have a son, and I think it's super cool. I think it's cool, and I don't fault LeBron for wielding his incredible power to help his son reach the NBA and ultimately share the court in some capacity with him. I think that's super cool. I mean, My dad continued to play softball into his 50s because he wanted to play with me when I was like 18, 19 years old. I get it. Like, that's obviously a smaller level, but you can understand to do anything with your son, especially as they get older and to help them reach their dreams. 100%. I think it's cool. Now, Bronny saying, oh, I've never thought about it, or I want to, you know, paint my own path and all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, that. Come on. Like, the only reason you got drafted and the only reason you got drafted by the Lakers is because LeBron is your dad. Like, he was not good enough last year, and you could say that the cardiac condition was played a role. That's fine. But if he was any other player on the planet, he would have and should have stayed at USC for another year, continue to build his stock, and maybe at some point actually earned the right to be drafted based upon his own skill level. But on the surface, from a father-son dynamic, good for them. It's super cool. But them, whether it's LeBron or Bronny, having any sort of illusion that, hey, this is my own path, this you know, I want to have a separation here, is foolish and unrealistic.
All right, promote what you got coming up. WGRZ TV Channel 2, Sabres, you got Olympics coming up, Bills camp coverage, everything going on, right?
Yeah, Lindsay Mopper just did a really cool story on Dwan Smoot that ran last night. You can find it on WGRZ.com. Okay. Him and his wife started a preschool in Jacksonville just earlier this year, bilingual, pre-kindergarten ages up to 5 years old, and he does have aspirations, him and his wife, of potentially doing something similar here in Buffalo. So a new guy that you can learn about in regards to stuff off the field. So that's cool. You can find it on our website. And we're just going to continue Sabres and Bills stuff over the coming weeks. I'm actually doing my normal vacation before training camp, before the season gets underway. But yeah, those two will be holding down the fort over the next couple of weeks. And then, yeah, end of the month, St. John Fisher. And we're off and running. And the Olympics, which happens to coincide exactly. So, you could just bleed all of your Simone Biles and track and field and USA basketball and just hang around for the 6 and the 11 and catch some Bills talk.
I will be dialed into the track and field for sure. I love watching that. Well, watching those events, especially the relays, but I'll be watching those for sure. John, thanks. And by the way, again, happy anniversary. Congratulations again. You and Heather, happy anniversary to you guys.
Thanks, bud.
All right, you got it. John Scott there from WGRZ TV Channel 2. Good guy, good buddy of mine. Yeah, he can hit a ball. He can hit a golf ball a long way. I've watched it. I am not, like, I'm a decent golfer. I'm okay. I haven't played that well lately. The last few rounds I've gone out. I'm not a bad golfer. My irons are pretty good. My drive is not great because I have this fade, and sometimes it gets away from me. When I can play the fade, I'm okay. Anyway, the point is, even on my best days, I just can't hit the ball that long. I've never been a long hitter. So I'm like playing with John, and he's just pounding it down the middle. And maybe he's not down the middle, but he's pounding it. And Matt Parrino, same thing. And I'm like, I don't know how these guys can do that. Like, I may have a better game overall some games than them. Or we all go out there and hack a little bit. But I just can't. I gotta be a better, longer hitter. I wish I could. My fade takes some length away, but even if it's straight, it's not. So I don't know. I always try to figure it out. Our Paul Hamilton, as well as the rest of the media covering Sabres development camp, caught up with former Sabre and current development coach Adam Mayer. We'll have that for you when we return on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.